Oh God, it's so loud.
Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And I am designer Dave Say.
And welcome on this lovely Monday, November 25th, a few days before Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Man. Gotta clean up the house.
Are you having guests come?
Yep, my sister comes every year. She'll bring her boyfriend, her cat, all her stuffed animals, and her friend Alexis.
Nice.
Oh. And we'll be, you know, doing the turkey thing. Also, perhaps celebrating a little bit of Thanksgivica.
What's Thanksgivica?
Thanksgivica is the combination of Thanksgiving and Hanukkah, which happens once every 70,000 years.
What? So,
yeah, like last time we were at Ian Ethan Case's show here, when you had it at the studio, Abby Weinstein was telling, had mentioned Thanksgivica. I said, what's that? And apparently there's this whole Thanksgiving-themed thing. So the first day of Hanukkah this year is the same day as Thanksgiving. So you can celebrate both at the same time.
So, and that only happens once every 70,000 years.
Yeah, I guess.
And it just so happens to fall on this year.
Yes. And you know, it's an excuse to like combine foods that have never been combined before in my household. There's this gigantic internet surge of, well, it's not that gigantic, but there's a big surge of interest in combining things like, you know, potato latkes with cranberry sauce, Manschweitz brined turkey.
Yeah,
I've never had it before. I guess it's a kind of sweet wine. So, and, you know, just combining a bunch of things together. Apparently, it's not exactly kosher, but it's an excuse to celebrate with food, and I'm always for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on, man?
Nothing. So I had so we did our giant supersized anime podcast last week with Teresa, and it was supposed to be Sid's job to do the show notes. And shortly after doing the podcast, a slight emergency came up wherein I had to go to my parents' house for the remainder of the week and reorganize my comic book collection because it got unruly, and there are things in there that are worth quite a bit, and I wanted to make sure everything was where it should be, and that everything was organized and subdivided by categories and boxes and all that kind of stuff. And so I got a tweet from Teresa, and it just said, so Dave tells me that you can't get the notes done from the giant nerd out anime podcast because you have to go and organize your comic book collection. At which point she said the geek bar had officially been raised a little bit. And then I thought about that, and I was like, you know what, that does kind of sound pretty good. Like, sorry guys, I can't write the show notes for the anime podcast because I have to go home and organize my comic book collection. So that was a little bit of an unashamed I was like, yes. It took me all week. Luckily it was slow at the studio this week. I've never spent so much time with my parents as I did this week in a very long time. But it's 95% done. The only thing really that's left is I need to just sit down with a laptop, and I need to take an inventory of everything that we have, so that way I have a reference of it on a computer somewhere. We looked into my dad collects a lot of coins, paper money and coin money. And in the coin world, they have, when you have really valuable stuff, they have what they call slabbing, which is you send it to a professional grading company who they grade it. They grade the condition and stuff.
Yeah.
And then they put them in these airtight, hard plastic shells. So you can't really get at them, but they're, you know, they're protected from the elements and they're protected from air so that the colors don't change or anything like that. And then it gives you a little label that's right on the thing, and it says, this is the condition of this coin. And the good thing about having things graded and slabbed is that because it's professionally graded by some sort of professional company, you can't contest with the price. So like this is what it is. This is, you know, it's in mint condition, and it's like a grade, you know, like I'm just gonna say like 9 out of 10.
So you know what the grade is,
right? And then that reflects on like the pricing stuff. And so I guess over the last, I don't know, 10 years, 15 years, or whatever, the reason why they do this is that so you can't try to talk somebody down. Like if you've got a mint coin, this grading company grades it saying this coin is mint.
Yeah.
So people can't contest with that price. Like you can't like offer half of what the coin is worth when it's. Well,
sure
it's,
they can, but at least the grading, there's a third party.
Yeah.
I remember on Alan's Toy Box DX or through Alan, our friend Alan, like he is a Japanese robot collector, and he collects like the robots from the anime shows of the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
I remember on he used to talk about the condition of boxes all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a C10. No, that's a C9. No, I would say it's a C7 because of the slight wearing on the edge there. Oh, I can't buy anything below a C7. And there would be arguments about like whether or not the cardboard was, you know, over the box that the toy came in was really in the condition they say
yep.
said it was. And I could see where people would be knocking down prices
yeah.
on that kind of thing. But
yeah.
having a third party that adheres to a standard.
Yeah. And that seems to be a standard it's transitioned into comic books. Now you can't really sell anything unless it's been professionally graded and slabbed. Mm. And so we have, you know, I'm going to say, it turns out we have a lot more than I thought, but, you know, like we have, I'm going to say two boxes of really, really fair from like fairly valuable to downright like, these are some pretty key issues.
Wow.
And so some of those just we need to get them slab because they're, you know, like, I mean, some of them are from, you know, the mid 50s and they're only going to get worse
wow.
if they just sit in a comic book, yep. you know, in a regular plastic bag and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So we're getting to that point where we have to sort of sit down and figure out which ones we should get slabbed. And I'm seeing it as, you know, like we've had them for almost 40 years now. Some of these it's time to start considering, you know, like I want to eventually get a house and maybe that these are sort of the, what's going to be the down payment if I can figure out how to slab them and all that yeah. kind of stuff.
The house that Nerdity built.
Exactly. The geekiest house in the world. So it was good. And it was good to just sit down and totally nerd out for 5 days, like just going through all these. It yeah. makes me wonder some of the stuff that I bought when I was a kid in the 80s. Like I have no idea why I bought some of this stuff. Like yeah. what was I thinking? Like
yep.
some of these titles are just out of control. Yeah.
Are some of those worth some money now? So the crazy ones.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got, I put a couple of pictures up on Facebook. I put up one and it started like a 38 thread conversation, but,
nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've got, you know, we've got like, I've got the original X-Men 2, 5, and 7 from the early 60s. I've got two copies of Daredevil number 1. I've got the first appearance of Punisher. I've got the first appearance of Wolverine. I've got the first appearance of blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
I've got, you know, just a lot of good stuff. And it was just stuff that my dad helped me acquire over time. But now we've got this collection. So I ended up, like, I have, like, we have the two good boxes, and we have two boxes that are nothing but Amazing Spider-Man, because I found out recently, and I never thought about this before, my dad collects coins, yeah. and when he's collecting coins and paper money and everything, he's thinking sets.
Ah. Yeah.
And so when I started opening, because he's been adding to some of the comic collection in the last 20 years. I've had most of the stuff, it's been at my parents'.
Yep.
And so when I open these boxes, there are a lot more stuff than I remember there being.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, we've got two boxes of Amazing Spider-Man and his mentality, like my mentality from a comic collector is there's only certain issues that are key issues that are worth anything. The rest of them aren't worth the paper that they're printed on anymore. Like some right. of them are just, you know.
But as a set.
But as my father's thinking about it, he's thinking from a coin perspective and he's like, no, you need a complete set. Like people aren't going to want to buy individual issues. They want to buy a whole run of Amazing Spider-Man. And it's like, yeah. no, they only want, you know, the early issues. They want the Punisher appearance. Like there's only key issues that like spike in price and the rest of them are all just, they just fall flat.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting that he never really explained it in that way to me before. Like but I can totally see it. Cause when he's yeah. buying coins, he's just completely obsessed with, he needs complete sets. He said the last thing he wants to do is like say buy a penny collection and then open up the book and have, you see just empty circles where
yeah.
You know, so he tries to fill everything out. So I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. That's
yeah,
why.
It is. I could imagine that being much more sellable to, let's say that there's someone who wished they'd kept their comic books, you know, but now they're a billionaire and they want to buy the whole set.
Exactly.
Right then.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, filling out their collection, which is but how that's I think what, we would think.
Yes,
about
but
it.
That's like the exciting thing is like, that's why the internet has kind of ruined that whole collectability thing. Because it's like, I used to buy, I used to import CD singles like there yep. and they, a lot of the ones that were only made in Europe and stuff like that. And it or just like looking for key used anything. It like the internet takes mm-hmm. that just the like the adventure Indiana Jones archaeologist. I'm on the hunt for this.
Yep.
And now it's just, and you know, I can just log onto the computer and I can just find it within 5 minutes and there it is, and whether or not I want to order it. It takes the adventure out of, like,
well,
looking for things that you collect and stuff. The excitement of when you find something.
Yeah, yeah. Although there's a lot more things I would rather be doing than
right.
like, spending all this time. Think about it, like, the excitement of Indiana Jones is 20 plus years of him adventuring and sitting in, like, boring places.
Right, but, you know, I mean, he's
condensed into, like, an hour and a half.
But he's doing what he loves. You know, like, I've been watching an episode of American Pickers in the morning. Uh-huh. And yeah. I like it because the main dude is, he's a pretty likable guy. He's just kind of, kind of funny. He's nerdy about motorcycles and stuff. But it's the fact that they are going on these adventures looking for things. And then mm-hmm. when they just stumble across, you know, like an old barn, and they go in and they actually find something that he's, like, looking for. Like, he's just like, oh my God, I can't believe I found it in the middle of a rural field in Ohio.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. So I like that it's just, you know, it's like when you find anything that you're just like, oh, there it is. I've been looking for that.
Hmm. You know. But after you find it, you want to tell everybody, don't you?
Well, yeah. I guess the internet's good in boasting about it.
Look what I found. I guess you really have to be driven by the hunt for things. I'm not that driven for the hunt of particular items.
Yeah.
I just want to have them. That's right. Basically. Like when I'm out with you and Sarah and we end up going anywhere near a place that has DVDs, I'm thinking, oh. I wish I'd brought a book, because Sid's going to be going through all of this bin of DVDs for the next hour, and hopefully there's a place I can sit and eat something while he's doing this.
That's what I do. And music.
I feel tired just thinking about it. I tried to think of what the equivalent
That's
for
probably
me
why
would
I'm
be.
Always exhausted, is because I'm always just like, you know.
Yeah. I am subscribed to the Apple II. There's an Apple II group on Facebook.
Yeah.
And people are posting stuff that they're finding. And I'm kind of getting excited by some of the finds they have. We find some old software, old discs, old drives. People are talking about Apple IIs that they're like rescuing from garbage dumps and things like that. So,
yeah.
Oh, there's a, and then they're showing all the cards that are inside of them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, here's an old Super Serial card. And here's an old Hayes modem card. Here's a very rare Apple II network card. And so that's kind of neat. But at the same time, you know, I'm very aware that the nostalgia for it,
yeah,
it's you know, actually having them and screwing around with them is much less interesting to me than it used to be. What I think I miss about that era is like the era of discovering how to program, and that's something I kind of miss now.
Yeah,
in a way, like the internet makes it a lot easier to pick up new languages and things like this. But it's also a little bit different because you're picking from existing solutions, and back then you didn't know. It was very new.
Yeah.
People were inventing programming and programming techniques back then.
Yeah.
When we went to college, like, computer science itself was still not very expansive the way it is now.
Yeah.
I mean, people were basically teaching people. It was like a trade school, and there was just a few theoretical things that were ongoing. I kind of miss that era of exploration and having. I would like to have certain key pieces from that era.
Yep.
Like, you know, like a pristine functioning Apple II Plus would be great. but what I would like to put into it is a put an Arduino on a board in it.
You What's know, that?
Arduino is a common open source hardware platform now.
Oh.
It basically is like a microprocessor with some memory and some I/O on it, and people have been using them to create. Like robot controllers or things that talk to other devices, putting cameras on them.
Yeah.
So it's a way of like, it kind of is in the place where microcomputers used to be back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So they're inventing ways of using these very small mobile hardware devices to interface with real world projects.
Okay.
And do things that people haven't thought about doing before.
Yeah.
And it's small enough so you can. Because it's a very small machine, you can. It requires the same level of resourcefulness that you used to need back then.
Yep.
So I don't know. I can't think of anything to do with them these days because so much stuff is available. Yeah.
Huh.
So the one thing about the anime thing, I discovered that my cousin John.
Yeah.
Apparently, I was his introduction to anime, which I had no idea. And he said that I showed him Robotech when I was visiting his family once. So I have three cousins in California. Jason, the oldest. Mm-hmm. John, the middle child.
Now, Jason was the one that came out to visit you. Jason, this summer, right?
Yep, Jason was the one who came out to visit. He's a math professor now.
Okay.
Or a math teacher for a elementary school, high school. I think there's sixth graders he's teaching.
Okay.
And then Brian, the youngest. So John is actually well known in the, I don't know what you would call this community, but the anime fan community. He does all these animations and things.
Fanime?
Fanime, yeah. And yeah, he's got this following now, but he works as a programmer. It was weird because when he was like a kid, he kept, every time I would visit him every few years or visit his family, like my aunt an uncle, he would show me like something he's been working on. Yeah. So he was making lots of little games and things like that. And he was a huge anime fan. I had just assumed that he became an anime fan because he lives in California where there's lots of, you know, Asian culture type stuff. Yeah. And anime was, since he's like, I don't know, 10, 15 years younger than me.
Yeah.
You know, he just grew up in that culture of abundance of anime, right? So yeah, that was kind of cool. He posted this thing on Facebook. He had apparently had drawn a picture of a Valkyrie.
Yeah,
from Macross, and like I didn't know it at the time, but I guess he was really impressed.
He kept it
in his treasured illustrations scrapbook, and he posted a picture of it. I was like, wow,
that's awesome.
Like, yeah, you know. Yeah, some of his work. We'll have to post some links to his work, but he did some pretty amazing things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Those animations we were just watching.
Yeah,
isn't that awesome that you like you touched somebody in a special way? Let me rephrase that. You inspired somebody.
Yeah.
You just enthralled their imagination to the point where they're like, "Wow!" You introduced them to this whole new world.
Yeah, Robotech.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yep,
cool.
Have you ever read, you're familiar with Evan Dorkin, right?
Yes. I just found all my Milk and Cheese comics.
I was just thinking about like this whole anime podcast unlocking all the geek out stuff.
Yep.
It was reminding me of Bring Me the Head of Boba Fett. Did you ever read that?
I think so.
Oh, it's so good.
I think so.
It's like the Eltingville like, comic book club. I think I have an issue of that. My sister actually, I think, turned me on to that.
Yeah.
Evan
Dorkin.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but there was like this four like 14-year-old boys, and so one of them is the D&D guy, one of them is the sci-fi guy, and one of them is like the fantasy guy, and so there was this, they're in a kind of a club, kind of. They just swear at each other all the time. It's just like being back in school, right? You know, everyone like has their own little thing going. So, we'll have to post a link to that. It's pretty awesome. But I was just wondering, like, if we there's me, there's you. We now know a third anime geek.
Yep.
Teresa.
Yep.
Who would be the fourth?
It's really in. I don't know.
We need to get some people on the show and find out.
Probably not Kenta Koga.
Kenta Koga could be the guru of games.
Kenta Koga.
He's a big gamer.
Kenta Koga. We used to play Horde. We used to play Gears of War.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed playing with him and Claire.
It was better.
Probably. Like I think they played a lot. I'll tell you who has the worst potty mouth. Claire. Claire Davidson, if you're listening, Miss Potty Mouth, I swear to God, I had never heard such filth come out of an Xbox microphone in my entire life.
Really?
Just
what?
Just crazy. I was just like, what? Who? Whoa, my Claire! Oh my God! Did you kiss your mother with that mouth? Just out of control. Just wow. Impressive. Yes, but awesome though.
Uh huh.
Because that's what you're supposed to do when you get that involved in a game and you're just like. So yeah, I miss doing that. I don't know if he's moved on to an Xbox One or a PlayStation 4, but
haven't heard anything. We should get him on the show anyway.
Yeah,
we should. Who else should we get? That could be the focus of the podcast: just getting people on and seeing what they're up to. He's got lots of ideas for interesting projects. He runs, I think, one of the local Linux user groups.
Oh really?
Yeah. So he's one of the area connected people. As far as doing things.
Doesn't he have a lift in his garage? And he put an automotive lift?
He just installed a lift.
That's awesome.
This summer. Because like he wanted to work in his car. And he used to be a neighbor of mine at the condominium complex that I live in.
Yep.
But he didn't have a garage. And this was a big deal for him. He's also into motorcycles now.
Oh, is he?
Yep, he got a motorcycle. His brother G taught.
I
think he loaned him one or something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, his brother's cool too. We should get them both on the podcast.
He travels a lot. Kent is
Yeah, he does.
Jiro?
Yeah. Yeah, he showed me how Jiro showed me how to properly fold a dumpling.
Oh.
Like an agent style dumpling. I did not know how to do it right before. So he showed, it's like this.
Come on,
he
folded,
whoa, that looks so much better. it's so clean it was kind of fluffy looking because there's something you do with folding the pinches over so they kind of overlap and it creates this beautiful pattern.
And
then
fold.
Instead of just being this flat thing that's been pinched shut, it ends up kind of becoming this sort of like cupped mound of meat inside this dumpling skin.
Yep.
It looks the way it's supposed to.
Yep.
I could never figure it out before.
Huh.
Yep. Yeah.
Interesting. What else has been going on? I'm going to talk about... So I had... This friend of mine that I've met through Flickr, the photo sharing site. This is this guy. He's located a couple of towns over here in New Hampshire. His name is Edward James, and he's one of these guys where you look at his work, and it's just so good that you get like it just makes me hate my own work. So he just does this, like he's been doing it to deal with some personal issues.
Is he a photographer or not painter?
He has a day job and this is just something that he's been doing to sort of work through some stuff, but he just has this very beautiful color palette that is just, it just seems to, I don't know, there's something about his work. And and it turns out he only has one camera. He only has one lens. Like everything he's doing is basically with the most minimalistic kit possible. It's primarily all natural light. The light that he does use is actually the high beams from his car.
Nice.
And he just does this really beautiful work. And we've been emailing back and forth quite a bit. And he's been saying, we need to just get together. And even if we don't shoot anything, just get together. So we actually got together, was it last month? And it started because he said he wanted to take a portrait of me in his style. And I was like, oh my God, yes. So I just threw on an outfit. I had it at home. And we ended it up, he put a bunch of on Flickr, and I'll have to share them. And I'm just mentioning it because I stumbled across one of the pictures again. And I'm just so in love with them.
Is this that picture? You're in the forest and there's this box.
Me on the railroad tracks, yeah.
That's a gorgeous picture.
And it's a shot, and I'm crouched down, and I'm like, I'm kind of obsessed with like, the way people dressed in like the 30s, like this, that's sort of like workwear kind of thing.
You're dressed like Pazu from Castle in the Sky Mountain.
So
that makes sense.
So I've got like the hats that I usually wear, and I've got a button-up shirt, and I've got a vest, and I've got my leather bag. It looks very like vintage. But it's just this beautiful shot. And so he had a toolbox, and he does a lot of natural lighting, so I brought some off-camera lighting, and we worked, we kind of, it's kind of a mutual shot, although it's primarily his shot, and I don't want to take anything away from that.
Mm-hmm.
But we put a light inside this toolbox, and I'm crouching down, and I'm looking inside the toolbox, and the light is going off inside the toolbox, and so it's illuminating me. And then he had bought some smoke bombs, and there's some remnant smoke left over because some of the early stuff we did wasn't really working out. So there's smoke sort of, I'm on in the middle of these railroad tracks, and he's added this, and we did it at night after the light went down. And so there's like light coming from a street lamp that's a different temperature color from, it looks so beautiful. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that doesn't look, it's not me, it's me, but it looks so gorgeous. And, it hits home that it's really about, it's about what that photographer brings to his work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about, it's weird. It's because I'm not usually, unless I'm taking a self portrait or something where I'm screwing around at the studio, I try not to be in front of the camera.
Yep.
Just because I'm not happy with the way I look, and most people aren't happy with the way they look. And it's something that everybody just needs to work out and get over. But it's gorgeous. So I'm going to link these because he's just really great. And we're going to get together. It's now my turn to take a picture of him. I had some pressure the other day that I should be doing more personal work, which
you
should be. So this is the perfect way to try to get back into that. And I enjoy doing my own personal work. It's just, just the stress of everything else. So I'm going to try to get him back, and I'm going to work on a little personal project kind of thing. Real simple stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll link those. But I don't know, they're so beautiful. The one shot, I'm going to have it printed on that metal print made.
Oh, okay.
From White House Custom Color, and So I'll have something nice that I can hang up where it, and it just, it was very illustrative. Like I almost look like a book cover, or I almost look like a character in a book's story or something.
Yeah, it does. It's like young Sid was walking along the railroad one day and he discovered a box full of magic.
Exactly.
It's like a children's book cover or something like that. Except it's for people pushing 30. 40,
yeah, anything that can make exactly anything that make me look like a wizard, I'm all over it. Yeah, it's like a wizard or an adventurer
the only thing that could put it up was probably like a unicorn and rainbows.
Exactly. Yeah, if he had brought like a unicorn like that I could sit on, holy shit,
it would be like nuzzling your hand, and there'd be a dancing bear with a hand.
Exactly. We're by a body of water, and the unicorn's all right, out of control. So I just wanted to bring that. I was looking at him again. I'm like, man, they're so beautiful, and it's like you see him, and it's just like I want to get him, more exposure. Like I think more people should see this work because it's just gorgeous.
So what's his name again?
His name is Edward James. I don't think he really has a website. He has a Flickr page. That was how I came across him. And I'll link to the Flickr page and just look at his work. It's just his work is beautiful. Nice. Really, really well done. Huh. And just what he's been able to pull off with like literally just the most minimalistic amount of equipment. It's literally just a tripod, a camera, and a lens.
Yeah.
And it's like, I look around here and I see all this junk that I have, and it's like, I'm like, I'm complaining about this and that and everything, and he's just like, he's just doing it with one camera and one lens. He's just like, this is all you need. This is all it takes. This is all.
Yeah.
So it's like, get back to.
There's a little bit of the collector in you in some of your photos.
It's everywhere. Oh my gosh, Dave. Like comical. That's I am my father's son. That's what that is. My father is a terrible, materialistic person. And it is rubbed off on me. I mean, my music collection and my toy collection and my comic book collection and my movie collection and my CD collection.
Yeah.
Collection.
In some place, you need to make the transition from collector to creator.
Yeah, I know. You spend so much time watching movies and you're not actually making movies.
We should do some movie projects.
Yes. If we can get Dave to get a camera with movie ability.
We could just start with like very small scenes, like this is the thoughtful scene by the window.
Yes. Yep.
And this is the scene when they're we could just make little montages just to figure out the lighting.
All we need to do is drag the camera outside like at sunset when the light's coming down and grab a couple of those lightsabers. We're all set. We need is just a battle montage. That's all we need.
Speaking of which, I've become Kenta, I had dinner with Kenta Koga a few nights ago.
Kenta Koga.
Yeah, and so we've become kind of ethnic food buddies, I guess. In his words. But he was telling me, we were talking about projects that we wished to be here doing, and he mentioned this guy that, if he was younger, he said he would be, doing something like what this guy did.
Yeah,
what's his name?
Is this the battle?
Yeah, the guy who does video game high school. Which is a video series, and these guys are, I think, in their late 20s, early 30s, but he started out doing visual effects videos on YouTube. He just wanted to figure this stuff out.
Yeah.
And then they did a Kickstarter to do a series about a high school where you go to if you're a video gamer. It's kind of cool. There's two episodes. I watched the whole thing, but it's just a bunch of people making stuff that's, close to them. And I'm watching this thing, and I'm getting most of the references, I think. I mean, it's the clicks are based off of different gamer types. So the drift racers are kind of like the outsiders. and then there's the Mario Kart gang. And everyone pays attention to the FPS crowd because they're like the football players in this thing. Yep. And they're kind of jerks.
Yep.
But it's kind of fun. It's. But it started out with them just making these videos. And it's worth it. We'll put a link to it. It's pretty cool. We need to be doing that kind of stuff. And we need to get more people like that in our circle. Maybe that will be our mission for the podcast, just to find those people, get them to talk about what they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
So it's time to wrap it up.
Yeah, look at that. We're up 30 minutes already. Awesome. So everybody have a good Thanksgiving. This is photographer Sid Caesar.
And this is designer Dave Say.
And eat lots of turkey and tryptophan and fall asleep.
I bought my turkey yesterday.
And get out on the day after Thanksgiving and go for a walk in the woods and don't stand in line to buy stuff. Because that's crazy. Don't do that.
I'm going to see the Hunger Games.
Oh, that's right. We have to go see that. Yeah, Sarah wants to see that really bad. Music is so loud.
It's less loud in the final mix.
I know. Music by Michael Bellar and the As Is Ensemble at michaelbellar.com. Give him your love.
Yeah.
And we will see you next week. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Bye.
Come on. Turkey.